This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
First down, Patriots from their 38. Brady in the gun gets the snap. Here's Jacob Martin getting there for the sack.
He is
Martin, outstanding tonight.
That was Jacob Martin, who basically just made a beeline to Tom Brady. And that was after Jacob Martin had gone into the locker room to get some IVs. He was cramping.
That's right,
up.
Yeah.
And we had him on the postgame show, Clint and I did, and he was great. He's a really engaging guy. He's good to talk to. I sound like Bill O'Brien right now. What do you think of Bill O'Brien?
Is he smart, tough, and dependable?
What do you think of Jacob Martin's game? Really good guy, good teammate, good personality.
I didn't mention his family. It's going to go, good family.
Good family, yeah.
Which I feel like O'Brien's got us quit with the good family stuff, because then I feel like I listen for that now, and when he doesn't mention somebody's good family, then I wonder, what's wrong with this bro's family?
Yeah,
what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. He's surrounded by
idiots. If I were a player, I'd be like, what's wrong with my family, coach?
Right. Yeah, why did you mention them?
Yeah. I'd have to be like, I'd be really nervous about when he did meet my mom. I'd be like, Mom, listen, Cynthia, you got to look, put your best foot forward here. He's going to mention you, or he won't. Yeah.
One way or the other. He's not going to say anything bad about you, but it's that we need him to say good things about you. Here is Bill O'Brien yesterday talking about the addition of Jacob Martin.
All I know about Jacob Martin is he plays 100 miles an hour, and he's a great teammate. He's awesome in the locker room, meetings. You should see the way the guy practices. I mean, he practices. He's out there every day. He doesn't complain about it. He just goes to work. And I think when you have that type of work ethic, you're going to get better. And I think that's what Jacob does. He tries to approach every day and tries to get better.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
What?
You're seeing this as a veiled clowny criticism, aren't you? He's mentioning all the things that perhaps people have said about Clowny, that he didn't practice every day, that it wasn't the same, that he didn't have a certain attitude and whatnot.
Here's where I am with Jacob Martin. You see right through me.
Yeah.
Because I'm at the stage. And especially when I'm listening to some of this audio last night while Clowny is playing on my television.
Right.
And Clowny did some things last night. It was kind of a standard Clowny game. Well, like there was a TFL in there where nobody blocked him. He was getting double teamed a lot, pretty disruptive. And you look up at the end of the night and he has a few tackles.
I thought the Seahawks defensive line in general played really well without actually sacking Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
But you're right. It's been that kind of year for Clowny where he's been a big influence, but it's not gaudy statistics.
Yeah, it's not gaudy. It's not gaudy stats. But to your point, the same way that anytime once Brock Osweiler left, I heard a compliment of a quarterback by Bill O'Brien as just veiled shade at Brock Osweiler. That's where I am with the Jacob Martin stuff.
Yeah.
With he comes to press. You should see this guy practice. What were all the things we heard about Clowny? Like, doesn't have the worker bee tendencies.
Yeah.
You know, is more of a game day kind of guy, not a practice guy. I have no idea how much of that stuff is true. I have no idea if the opinions that are conveyed in the media about how Bill O'Brien might have felt about Clowny are being conveyed 100% accurately, how dramatic it was. All we can look at is the behavior of all parties involved. Bill O'Brien traded Jadeveon Clowny for a package of assets that at the time appeared to be a serious the balance sheet was skewed way towards the Seahawks in that deal, perception-wise at the time. Now, the Texans have flipped the third-round pick that they got in that deal for Gerrion Conley. We'll see if he turns into anything. Jacob Martin is the one, though, especially right now, Seth, where the Texans don't have J.J. Watt. They didn't have Brennan Scarlett last week. So with no Watt, you're talking about easily your best pass rusher being out. With Scarlett being out, you're talking about a really versatile, warm body at this point being out.
Yeah.
So Martin, all of a sudden, at least in this short-term window here, is kind of an important player for the Texans, and he's played that way. He played 42 snaps, I want to say, in the game.
45.
45 in the game.
I mean, three of those might have been penalties, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I knew it was 40-something.
Yeah.
So So he played a lot of snaps, and he's been productive the last couple of weeks.
And if you look at Jacob Martin's contributions over the course of the season, before J.J. Watt got injured, he'd never played 20 snaps in a game. Right. He'd been in the high teens a couple times, but he was a situational pass rusher, which he still is to a large degree. That's when he's most effective. But right, 45 snaps in that game is a huge departure from where he'd been before, because he was still, against Indianapolis, he played 24 snaps and showed up. He was... on KHOU.
The Thursday night game.
After the Thursday night game, I went on KHOU and I told that Jacob Martin is probably the X factor in my mind on this defense for the rest of the season, because he's the only guy that you look at as a pure pass rusher on this team. He's not very big at all. He's not going to near, he'll, at least not this season, he's not going to provide you versus the run what J.J. Watt or Jadeveon Clowney or any of these other front seven type players were able to give you. But he is going to give... He gives an element of speed from the edge that Clowney and Watt didn't give you, and that Brennan Scarlett and Whitney Merciless don't give you. So it adds an element to the pass rush that really hasn't been there in a few years. Somebody that can just win and win really, really fast, especially if it starts being part of a blitz package where he's going to get single teamed. He can just flat out run around some of these guys.
That's what that sack was that we just played. He ran around Marcus Cannon. He made a beeline right at Tom Brady.
Yeah, and he did it last week too versus the Colts. Twice he's done this now on sacks where he almost, last week he had a chop pass rush move where he missed the offensive tackle's hands because the offensive tackle couldn't even get his hands on Jacob Martin. Like, that's how fast he is. So it's, that part's really, really good. Now I'm not going to feel really comfortable with him as the starting outside linebacker out there on first down all the time where you might have to really stand up against tough blocks, but he adds a little to what you were missing, which is that pass rush just hasn't been the same, obviously, since J.J. Watt left.
Yeah, I mean, can he be an asset to this defense where you start to feel, if you're a Texan fan, even remotely good about the I'm trying to come up with the right word here, but the balance of the Clowney trade? Like, if you were to do a balance sheet on the Clowney trade, I think most people, and I don't want to turn this into a huge Clowney thing.
Right.
I know there's some people that have Clowney fatigue, but Martin is a guy who's been pretty impressive these last couple games. This is a team that needs to generate a pass rush somehow. And it felt like, Seth, when J.J. Watt went out, they were going to have to gimmick their way to getting pressure on the passer. And Martin is a guy who can actually win one-on-one matchups, it sounds like, is what you're saying. And they actually got good pressure on Tom Brady. I think some of that had to do with they were really solid on the back end in that game. The Texans covered really well in that game, and they should. That's not a great receiving core that the Patriots have. But they hit Tom Brady 12 times in that game. You told me what the over-under is going to be on QB hits on Tom Brady in that game. When you consider that even at age 42, the one thing Tom Brady can still do is get rid of the ball quickly if he has to not get hit. They hit him 12 times in that game.
They hit him 12 times. There were other times where Tom Brady had a lot of time back there. I'm not as concerned about those. A lot of times those were three-man pass rushes where Tom Brady had a whole bunch of time, which in the past... You'd say, oh, great, three-man pass rush. Somebody's going to be wide open downfield because somebody's going to blow a coverage. Yeah. They did a really good job of having everything covered. When they dropped eight guys into coverage, the Texans did a really good job of blanketing everybody. And the other side of it, too, you're right. Look, the Patriots' wide receiving corps is slow as hell right now. N.K. Harry isn't slow, but he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Right. So he gets benched in that. By the way, we saw what we're guessing was an N.K. Harry family member before the game.
Yeah.
We're out looking at jerseys in the Bud Light Plaza, trying to figure out, there aren't that many weird ones like there are with a lot of other teams, but we found a Harry, so I don't think they're selling that one in stores yet.
No, I don't think so.
So I felt bad that his family was at the game in a game in which he got benched.
Yeah.
So, but what the Texans were able to do was they were bracketing Julian Edelman all the time in the first half, especially and early in the third quarter. And usually when you do that, okay, that's going to put stress on everybody else because they're going to be singled up on people. The fact that the Texans have all these athletes running around in the secondary right now, it just gives Romeo Crennel so much more latitude to do a little bit more creative things, including just having Justin Reed bracketing Julian Edelman all the times. Because they have guys that can play man coverage, you can do that. They couldn't do that earlier in the season. They couldn't do it even a few weeks ago when everybody was injured all the time. All these guys, I'll give Bill O'Brien credit for this. He's running an experiment there in the backfield. He's taking a lot of guys that previously would have been deemed non-Texans worthy. But because you've got them on bargain deals or they're on their rookie deals so far and you've got them under control, Vernon Hargraves, Gary and Conley, all these guys, they may have been disappointments as first-round picks, but they're still way more athletically gifted than who you had there before.
Yeah.
And we don't care that they were first-round picks. We only care that, hey, look, we've got a guy who's a really good athlete with a fresh chance and a fresh start on this team.
I think the fresh chance and fresh start thing is big. You're getting guys who maybe are starting to stare their football mortality in the face a little bit more than when they were a bonus baby first-round pick, right? Bradley Roby is a first-round pick who's very up and down in Denver, goes onto the open market and realizes, man, I'm not viewed by the NFL free agency society nearly like I viewed myself. He signs a one-year deal here, and he starts to realize, man, I need to get my bleep in order. Gary and Conley had not lived up to the first-round status in Oakland. And so maybe you get him, and once you go on that second team, and Vernon Hargraves for sure is an example of this because he really wore out his welcome. I'll make a real-life analogy here. My guess is that when I get married to Amy in February, she's going to get a much better version of a husband this time around than my first wife got.
Yeah, that's very good. You know what I mean? Like, some things.
You do, and you're saying a lot of times second, this is why first marriages don't work out a lot of times, is you're a much better person when you learn what your role is in a relationship and you evolve. And I think that's sometimes with football players, I think that's the risk that you're taking when you, or maybe that's what mitigates the risk of getting a player who's getting his second chance.
Well, plus,
is they've been shocked into reality a little bit.
And you're not spending a first round pick on him.
That's right.
You've spent nothing on him. Right. You spent nothing to get Hargraves. All you have to do is pay the remainder of his salary for this year. And if you want to keep him around, you can next year.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one thing we haven't mentioned yet this week, Bradley Roby, revenge game.
Oh, the Denver Broncos.
That's right. Bradley Roby, who's looking awful good, is going to come in very motivated versus his old team.
I will see your Bradley Roby and raise you a Kareem Jackson. Revenge game. Didn't get an offer from the Houston Texans.
Yeah, and is he playing? I believe this is what's interesting is, and this is where sometimes, all right, look, we love Kareem Jackson, but we knew that he was probably going to be better as a safety here.
Yes.
They started off saying, hey, we're going to have him play cornerback because that's his natural position. I believe he's transitioned more into a safety role, which is probably a good idea. I'll double check that. And we'll talk more a lot about the Broncos coming up. The other guy, if we're talking about fresh chances and fresh starts, I always like the Kyle Lowry dynamic is awesome because the first person that will tell you that it's still A-OK that the Rockets traded away Kyle Lowry is Kyle Lowry.
Yes.
Lowry says that very, being told that he wasn't good enough kind of kickstarted him. He needed a kickstart. He wasn't mature enough. He didn't really understand the commitment that it took to be good in the NBA. And then all of a sudden he becomes this great player up in Toronto. That wouldn't have likely happened if he had stayed here in Houston. He was a guy that needed a little bit of kick in the rump to get that going, and that's what worked for him.
Yeah, and I think if you're Bill O'Brien and you're the GM committee and you're evaluating guys like Roby and more recently Conley and Hargraves, is it you're banking on a few things. You're banking on that. You're banking on the second relationship sort of dynamic you and I have been talking about. You are banking on the solid nature of your locker room, the current leadership structure you have in place, being in an environment where guys like that will come in and thrive, as opposed to being in places like maybe Oakland or Tampa Bay that are a little maybe less leadership-oriented, a little looser, not necessarily locker rooms or franchises that are conducive to guys coming in and being their best selves, and you're banking on the talent as well.
Well, then I think, too, remember we talked to a guy who knows people in Tampa who'd said that one of the things that was curious about Hargraves in Tampa was that they wanted or expected him to become a leader, perhaps maybe too early.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a little too much put on him. And sometimes, but I've seen that before where sometimes people expect one guy to somehow turn around a bunch of other guys who just simply aren't good guys.
Right.
There's only so much you can do. If you've ever been asked to talk to somebody, try to talk some sense into this kid. Like, you're not going to do it. It's just, there's only so many things you can do that you can only teach somebody who wasn't already taught by their parents or their high school coaches. Sometimes there's only so much you can teach them. So I don't know, maybe in Tampa they just put too much on Hargraves' plate and that wasn't the role that he should have had at that moment, and they felt let down because of it. It was weird because you talk to people in Florida and they loved him.
Yeah.
And
coach's son.
Whatever the hell happened in Tampa, I don't know. Maybe Maybe Hargraves said something that Bruce Arians misinterpreted or something, and it showed up on the field. He wasn't playing well.
Right.
He had a couple of good games early on, and then he wasn't playing well. But whatever it was, I just hope that it was just a fluke.
He's a thumbs up so far, right?
Yeah. Oh,
from what you've seen? Like, I think he's been very solid.
Especially for the price you paid, which is nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Zero.
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.